Let's be absolutely honest with each other right now. How much responsibility do you expect a woman to take for her man's behavior and choices?
Why we always have an odd one in the crowd?
So it's kind of odd.
Decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
So let me give y'all a little update on something that's happening in my life that's just completely insane. So you remember before COVID, like several years ago when we first moved into our house, a neighbor whose property butts into ours, she doesn't live in our neighborhood, but her property touches ours, took great offense to the fact that we built a house here and live here. Did not like the fact that, you know, the woods that she was used to looking at were now our house and driveway. Did not like the doghouse Kevin built for Marley. Did not like that we weren't, you know, landscaping and gardening and doing all of these things. And so she called the police and told the police that we were abusing our pets. And the cops came to our house and... long story short, my husband lost all of his mind, and that set off an epic feud that took so many wild forms that it was crazy. And I just flatly refused to be involved. I'm like, hey, this is your fight, not mine. I don't even know these people. I've never met these people. I'm not getting involved. If you want to feud with the neighbor about your dogs or the trees, like, that's on you. I got, right. At that point, I had, you know, a kid in middle school, one in high school, dance, my job, family responsibilities, freaking overwhelmed, you know? Mm-hmm. So, time went by and many, many batshit crazy things happened. And this woman sent me, you know, a letter in the mail all about her life. And I read it and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this. Then she doxed me on the internet. Posted my address, told people to come see what trash I am. That was fun for a while. Then, I don't know, I guess, I would not engage. I just completely ignored. I absolutely would not engage. I thought Kevin was going to have a stroke. He was insane. He was out of his mind. He was so angry all the time. And I'm just like, I don't have time for this, you know? Like, I would like to have time for this, but I got to get Karen Mia to the dance studio and we have a competition this weekend and Bob and I are traveling for the show. Like my mom is sick. Like, I don't have time for this. So years go by and she sent me some flowers and I called her on the phone and the flowers were like, you know, I'm sorry, we're off to a bad start. So I literally picked up the phone and called her one right. day from the parking lot at the dance studio and talked to her on the phone for like 45 minutes. And explain to her, like, listen, I'm not my husband's keeper. He's a grown man. He's older than I am. And he's going to do what he's going to do. And I'm a very, very busy person with other priorities. And I can't get involved in this feud. And then she talked to me about, you know, the beauty of nature. And I was like, listen, we have kids in college. My industry is being decimated. We can't sink six figures into landscaping. And, you know, frankly, how can you even see our house? There's all these trees. Well, yeah, she can see our driveway and our car. Why are our cars parked in the driveway? And now at this point, I'm starting to get a little bit irritated because I tried shoving my car right up my ass, but it was so uncomfortable that I left it in the driveway where cars belong, you know? And so I was very patient. You know, I'm a social worker. We're here to help. I was very patient. She's had a lot of loss in her life. A lot of loss. And it's been a tough ride for her. And, you know, she's an older person. I want to show respect. She was a friend of my late mother-in-law's. I'm not going to get in this fight. So I said to her, look, I will speak to Kevin, but I can't make any promises. He's his own person. And frankly, I am too busy to manage him. So more time goes by. I get a beautiful gift in the mail. I write her a thank you note. And I'm like, well, you know, here we are. Meanwhile, she and her husband have apparently just a lot of money. And they have shoveled, when I tell you tens of thousands to the point of hundreds of thousands of dollars, I am not exaggerating, into their landscaping. And they, not only that, they not only have made this beautiful garden with all sorts of plants and bridges and walkways, and it's absolutely spectacular. They open it to the public and people can walk through either of our two neighborhoods. You can sit on the benches. You can take your kids for a picnic. You can bring your dog. It's very lovely and generous. And I think it's wonderful. And that's great. And as she told me on the phone and in her letters, you can't take the money with you. And this is how they want to spend it. And I'm fine with that. And then something nuts just happened.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kim, the parentologist. As a wife, mom, therapist, and all-around juggler like most of you, I lead a hectic life, and sometimes that means indulging in foods on the go that my stomach doesn't always agree with. Thankfully, Pepto-Bismol provides me fast and effective relief for all kinds of upset stomachs. Having a little too many guilty pleasures at a family barbecue or birthday celebration may lead to indigestion or heartburn, so I always keep Pepto on hand to get fast relief when I need it the most. Pepto-Bismol, use as directed and keep out of reach of children.
So, it's a small world, right? And the degrees of separation between each of us are not what you think they are. So my sister wife, my husband's first wife, she and I are very, very close, like really tight, like BFF level tight. I love her.
That is so, let me just say, that is so weird. It really is. You were the only person I know that has a relationship like that. And kudos to you. No, I think it's great, but I just have to say, I mean, people are thinking that when you say BFF with the, with the ex-wife, I mean, that is really unusual and, you know, good for you.
We spend like, we'll pick a day, like a Saturday. We'll spend the whole day together doing stuff. I spent all day last Saturday with her. Like, I just love her and I love our big, crazy blended family and it's all good. But my sister wife has really been through so much. She lost her dad, her uncle, who was like a father to her, and one of her dearest friends, all one right after the other during the COVID lockdown. Yeah. And because it was during COVID, there could be no funerals. And, you know, part of the reason we have funerals is because those rituals around grief and loss, they help us begin the process of letting go and moving forward. And when you've lost someone that you love and the funeral's on hold, that grief hangs over you like a storm that just waits to break. And it's very difficult. And my girl has just been through it. She's got the biggest, kindest heart. She's taking care of her mom. She's such a wonderful human being. And she's grieving and heartbroken. She was struggling. So she joined a support group through church, a grief support group. And it's been really, really helpful for her. You know, they go and they do like a grief share and they, you know, you're with other people that have also experienced loss. And there's some comfort in being able to talk about your loss in an environment where you're not quote unquote bumming people out, you know, and it's a way of talking about your loss and realizing that you're not crazy, you know, that your struggle and your feelings, it's just part of it because, you know, grief is the long trail, the long tail that so much love leaves behind. All those feelings have to go somewhere. So they're this grief share group. They have a leader and lots of people in it, and they meet at various different locations. Well, as luck would have it, you'll remember that my neighbor, remember when I said she's had a hard life with a lot of loss?
Yeah.
She hosted my sister wife's grief group in her garden. Of course, she didn't know that that was what was happening. And on this one particular occasion, Joni could not go to grief share. But all the other people went, including the leader. And this woman, my neighbor, spent the grief share absolutely ranting about me to these people.
I thought that she had come around and thought that you were a nice person after you called her up and talked to her so sweetly. Are you kidding me?
And this is going to go somewhere, and I'm going to want your opinion as a man, okay? So I have a question for you that's coming.
Okay.
Ranted to these people, gesturing, said that at one point we filled the cul-de-sac with slate and no one could drive in or out. You guys, there is not so much as a splinter of slate anywhere on my property. We have no slate. We never did that.
I've driven around the cul-de-sac numerous times. I've never, it's clean.
But there's no slate. There no slate in our house. No. Like we never used any. We don't have.
Who has slate? No one.
We don't have any slate. We never filled the cul-de-sac and made it impossible for people to drive. She went on such an ungodly tear that the leader of this grief group apparently said, "Why are you that is not your property? They don't even live in your neighborhood. What they do at their home."
It's inappropriate this sort of a meeting, too.
Yeah. Like the leader of the group was like, who I don't even know, this person was like, that is none of your business. Like, why are you doing this? Like, leave these people alone. Said that she kept trying to reach out to me and I ignored her and that I'm this rude, awful person. Meanwhile, another member of the grief group, unbeknownst to me at the time, has a child who danced with Karen Mia for all those years at the studio. And this woman is like, I know her, and this doesn't sound right. And it just went on and on and on and on. The meeting ends. Joni finds out that they spent this whole time just like shredding me to pieces. Meanwhile, I am blissfully unaware that this is happening. I'm probably 50 yards away working on the show with no idea that I'm getting ripped one side up and down the other.
Mm.
And so, and I don't, like, I think you can tell that, like, I'm not mad about it. I think it's kind of funny and also completely insane. And I think that, you know, she's been through a lot in her life and she's fixated on this. Here's my question to you, though. Her feud is entirely with my husband. And yet, all of her outrage is directed at me. Is it because from a generational standpoint, she's probably in her 80s, early 80s, it's expected that I will manage my husband's behavior as though he were my child or my employee? Or is it that a woman of that generation would never go mano a mano, so to speak, with a man? And so the attack is aimed at another woman because I am at a freaking loss to understand how it is I've taken up so much space in this lady's head.
Well, I think it's more the latter that because of the generation she comes from, it is easier for her to go at a woman. She understands a woman more than she does a man, probably or possibly. And she's not as intimidated by going at a woman as she might be with a man for obvious reasons. But I also think there has to be coming into play here, and I don't want to get sued, but something ain't right somewhere because here she is, you know, talking to you sweetly on the one hand, and then all of a sudden something clicks and you've become a mortal enemy. To the point that she wants everyone who comes to her house to be able to look over at what she sees and share for the evening her disdain, her anger. There's something that's not quite right there. And I think that is the major complication. She's imagining things, Sherry, and that's not normal.
Well, I have to say, you know, she's... Like I said, the garden and everything they've done is really beautiful. And I think it's extraordinarily generous to open it up and just share it with anybody that walks up the path. I think that's lovely. And we do not, we don't have that. In fact, when we moved here, part of the appeal for us was letting everything be natural. Because, you know, grass is like super bad for the environment and for the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. We didn't want to put... I know people who do that.
Right? We didn't want to put pesticides. The land was completely natural. And we're like, we're going to build our house. We're not going to cut down a single branch of a single tree that we don't have to, and we're going to disappear back into the landscape. We do have toys and bikes and cars. And, you know, when Ada comes over, we have a kiddie pool in the summertime. And until our dog Marley died, we did have Marley, who was outside part of the time. He was so old that we kept him in most of it, you know. And to accuse us of animal abuse was an outrage, because that couldn't be further from the truth. Unless dressing Sam up in his fleecy wizard pajamas to keep him warm today is abuse. We don't have the kind of money to spend doing what she thinks needs to be done at our house. And until my girls graduate from college, I can't drop.
Well, you have no excuses.
Tens of thousands of dollars, you know?
It doesn't matter. You could have $10 million and just choose to do a natural look. It's your property. She's at a point in her life where this is her vision. She's been in that house for probably a long, long time, and she wants to create this park-like atmosphere in the back, and she can see in the corner something that to her is an eyesore. And so I don't know what to tell her. I mean, you can hire a landscape person to come and put a row of trees, evergreen trees, and then, you know, you see nothing. Well, then what is she complaining about? Well, then she's got nothing else to think about. She's got nothing else to think about except YOU. And she grinds on it. She wants the drama. I've known people who have just lived off of drama. Usually it's with family, but sometimes it could be the next door neighbor, the people in the back. They just have to have it. It's oxygen.
It's just so confusing to me because, like, what? Like the fixation, like I could see if she was like sideways with Kevin, who my husband is one of those people that if you pick this kind of fight, he will go to the grave holding this fight, and then he will resurrect himself, dig himself out of the grave and pick the fight again. He is that person. And so I've gone to him. I'm like, listen, she's an older woman. She was friends with your mom. Like, do you really want to have this fight? And he's like, she told the police I was abusing my animals. I mean, he just cannot let it go.
That would make me very angry. I get his feelings on this whole thing. But I did
let it go. Like when I found out that we're still banging the Sherry is trash and garbage and dirty and terrible drum, I was shocked. But here's the thing. And I've brought this up on the regular show before. I resent being asked as a woman to be responsible for a grown man's behavior in any way. Like, and I've called people out on it. You know, like somebody will say to me, and every woman deals with this, by the way, every woman in a relationship or a marriage with a man deals with this. Well, your husband watches a lot of sports, or does it bother you that he hasn't cleaned out his truck? He's a grown ass man with his full cognitive abilities. What he does to his truck and what he uses his eyeballs for, I don't give a shit. I will not manage his behavior or defend his behavior or explain his behavior or apologize for his behavior unless there is something that has happened that really requires an explanation or an apology. I am not his mommy or his manager. I am his partner. And this idea that I am in some way, it is incumbent on me to direct his actions, I push back on that. I am so busy and so tired. I can't live another person's life.
But that's not what's really driving this. What's driving this is something changed in her life. Kevin doesn't have anything to do with this, really. It's something changed in her life. I think most of us have met, and they were probably, it's either your parents or friends of your parents, but somebody along the way, possibly a couple. And hit a certain part of their life, and sometimes people become a little uneasy with any change at all in their lives and become actually frightened, and they tend not to want to travel anymore. They don't want to go out of the house because of all the dangers in the world. And so their home and their yard becomes like the whole universe. And if something changes in the universe, they become very angry and irritated. And part of it can be understood as just aging. It doesn't happen to everybody who's getting older. I know plenty of people. I mean, I had a girlfriend whose mother, the stepmother, was, I think, 65, 70 years old. She was a widow. She got remarried to my ex-girlfriend's father. First thing she did, she bought a red Mustang convertible and was a hoot, you know, and got into watercolor painting, would give everybody paintings, and she was wonderful. But this is someone who is frightened of change of any type and is probably used to people doing what she says. And then you have the sheriff who's building a house the way he wants it, and your house is not a Georgian traditional. It's very different, but it's perfect for that piece of property. And she sees it, and she doesn't have a lot of input in her life. There's no job. The children are gone if she had children. I don't know half of the people who are on The Voice. I'm talking about the actual people who are the judges. She knows none of them. She knows none of them. So that's bizarre to her, too. That is bizarre. John Wayne is not with us anymore. And so she's frightened, and she's lashing out. And that's what it is. It's nothing to do with you or him. It's just fear is what it comes down to.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that I don't know. Like, I don't know what's going on over there. I was really taken aback that we were reigniting this, whatever you want to call it. I can't call it a feud, because in order for this to be a feud, I'd have to participate in it, which I won't. And she'll never hear this. And I bear her absolutely no ill will. I don't understand this, but I will say, this property was for sale. There was a sign that said for sale, and she and her husband clearly have enough money. If you wanted to never, ever have a neighbor, you could have bought the land.
Yeah.
But you didn't. And now, you know, you're saying like terrible things about me to like my family members who you didn't realize were there in that room. And you call our home an eyesore, and you talk shit about me to the neighbors, because all the neighbors come back and tell me, and I've ignored it up till now. But, you know, when my sister wife was like, girl, I hope you're sitting down, because you're not going to believe this.
Well, let me tell you one thing. She will never, you mentioned that she'll never hear any of this. She won't ever hear it. She's spending most of the day trying to find Matlock on her TV, right? And she's really ticked off about that.
Maybe. Like I said, I think they've done a lovely and generous and kind thing. And for me, there's a couple of message takeaways here. First is stop asking women to carry the water for their male partners. If you think my husband's an asshole, get a t-shirt that says Kevin's an asshole and wear it. Don't leave him blissfully alone while you attack me and dox me online and talk shit about me to strangers. Like, I'm not your fight isn't with me. Stop doing that to women. Women, let's stop doing that to each other. And then the next thing is, I am delighted if you have money and can travel and landscape and paint your house or whatever it is you do with your money. But don't sit around assuming that everybody else is sitting on that bucket too and is just pissing you off on purpose by not spending it that way. I got kids to educate. Like, I have other priorities. And I just do not want, I don't want this in my life. When this whole thing first started, I was like, Kevin, this is your fight. I will not participate. That's why I called her on the phone. That's why I wrote her a thank you note. I pay attention to the house. If I don't see activity over there, I'll think, I hope they're okay. I hope one of them hasn't fallen because they're up there in years. I've done nothing to engage this.
Yeah.
And I think this really does come down to I'm the bigger, easier target for her to pick on.
Sure.
But I hate when we do, when as women, we do this to each other. And I would love to see all of us make the effort to just be a little bit better. Because if you walk into someone's house and her husband is sprawled out, my girlfriend Tina and I were just having this conversation, and her husband is sprawled out watching, you know, a college basketball game, and there's snacks and crap everywhere. Don't look at her like, I can't believe you let him do this. He's a grown-ass man. It's his house too. Leave him alone. Leave me alone. Leave Tina alone. Leave all of us alone. Is it not hard enough to live inside your own skin and navigate your own path? Like, what the hell? You know?
I agree.
What the hell? So we were getting ready to decorate for Christmas. And now I'm like, oh my God. Now I'm going to have, you know, our Christmas decorations are not going to be up to snuff. Part of me just wants to say, fuck it, and move and just be left in peace. But with the real estate market where it is, I'm not taking that beating either. So I guess I will continue to sit in what she calls my quote unquote ivory tower. I don't know how I can live in an eyesore that is also an ivory tower, but somehow in my witchy way, I'm pulling it off. And I will continue to appreciate the beautiful gift that she is giving people by letting them have access to her garden. And I will continue to pray for her peace because I know she's had a tough life. But oh my God, lady, you got to stop telling people that I'm trash. Because not because I'm not trash, but because all the people you're telling are coming back to me and going, guess who says you're trash? Like, the world is too small for that, you know? Right?
You just, she's under your skin. You just have to let it go. You know, you're either going to go up to her door, knock on the door, confront her, or totally ignore her. There is no other choice. You could get a great big sign, have Kevin get a great big sign, and then paint in black block letters, Garden of Hell with an arrow for people who want to go through the beautiful garden. No, you just have to, it's taken me a lifetime to realize when you just focus on somebody like she's focusing on you, she's winning. She's winning. Just forget about it. I've been to your house. I've been in the back of your house. I've been in the side of your house. It's great. It's great.
Dude, I had let this go literal years ago. This isn't me grinding on anything. That's not fair.
No, but it's back. It's back again.
It's back. And I'm having this conversation to say, I am done as a woman being held responsible for the behavior of the men in my life. And that includes you. If you lose your shit and you insult a listener or whatever, I hate that that happened. I'm not your keeper. I'm not Kevin's keeper. I'm barely my own keeper some days. And I wish to God that all of us as women could understand that and get off of each other's backs. Now, I have to wrap up this episode of the Oddcast because I'm going to go out into the cul-de-sac and sacrifice a goat to the cloven-hoofed one. Oh my God. Y'all.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-mm. You know what? Go ahead and sell.
No, I can't. We'll take such a beating. I mean, we don't want to. Why the hell should I have to sell my house? I mean, whatever. But you know, kids, always be careful when you're talking in an ugly way about someone, because you don't know who's in the room. It might be that person's husband's first wife who, unbeknownst to you, is BFFs with the bitch you're trashing. New episodes of the Oddcast every Monday and Friday. Our website is bobandsheri.com. We thank you so much for listening because you're the reason we do it. We'll see you next time on the Oddcast.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry Podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast.
We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.